From Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. Two guys fumbling their way through the music business so you don't have to. Here they are. It's Scott and it's Hino.
And the Music Row Show.
All right. Hello, friends, and welcome to the Music Row Show. My name is Scott.
And my name is Hino. Thanks for tuning in tonight. We love it that you're here with us. This show is for all you songwriters and performers and musicians out there who are just trying to get a handle on how things work here in Music City.
That's right. Now, remember, we don't know anything.
Nah.
We're out there slinging songs during the day, just like you guys are. But we are able to find the right people, bring them into the studio and pick their brains and maybe learn something here and there.
That is true. And you can chime in by going to facebook.com/TheMusicRowShow. You can also hit us up on Twitter @TheMusicRowShow. And, you know, if you're still using email, you can just send it to mail@TheMusicRowShow. Lots of ways to reach us. So you can like us and you can join the conversation right now, any of those places. We're having a great show tonight. We're going to have a blast with the third annual Smoky Mountain Songwriters Festival here in beautiful Gatlinburg, Tennessee, which is very beautiful.
It was indeed. We had an amazing, amazing time. The festival was it 2 weeks ago?
It was about 2 weeks ago.
Two weeks ago.
We had such a great time. We decided we'd bring up the folks from the festival. We're going to be chatting with the founder and organizer of the festival, Cindy Reeves, and hit songwriter, John Condroni.
That's very good. We're going to shake things up tonight, and we're going to let you hear what we did at the festival, where we did our first annual Sugarlands Distillery Late Night Jam at the historic Gatlinburg Inn. With a bunch of our pals and hit songwriters, and that's what we're going to be doing in an hour or two.
Yeah, that's, you know, a lot of people don't know what happens after all the shows are over at the at any festival. You know, all the kind of songwriters get together and they,
when the mason jars open
and
up,
that's
and
when the fun starts. Yeah,
that's right.
So we're gonna let you in behind the scenes on that.
Absolutely.
All right, Scott, why don't you do the honors here?
Okay, now this last festival, this was the third annual Smoky Mountain Songwriters Festival, and it was my third year performing at the festival, and it's the first year that the Music Row Show has officially taken part of it, and I have to tell you, that first year, I was amazed that every time I turned around, or every time I needed something, bam! There was this beautiful, energetic woman in a big floppy hat, and no matter what part of town I was in, there she was. She is the founder and the lifeblood of this festival. Every year it gets bigger and better with more venues, more writers, more volunteers. And guess what?
What?
The beautiful woman in the big floppy hat is still everywhere. You turn around, there she is. And one of the neatest things about the festival is after the last 3 years, I'm able to say that this person is a dear friend of mine now. And so it's such a pleasure to say Cindy Montgomery Reeves and Iris Reeves.
Iris Reeves.
Yeah. Okay. I get so confused. Welcome to the Music Row Show. We're glad you all are here.
Thank you.
Yay.
Oh, thank you, Scott. It's great to be here with my daughter, Iris Reeves Ramsey.
See, I knew I was missing something.
There was something missing there.
It's truly, we're very honored and very proud that you have us on the Music Row Show. We just feel like that's a great accomplishment with this festival within its 3 years.
Well, you say that now. In 20 minutes, you might.
Let's talk about.
You might have
minutes.
A whole different idea, but we're glad you're here.
So, Cindy, I'm just curious, what in the world possessed you to start a festival? I mean, were you a professional cat herder in another life, or?
Well, I don't know if I was that or not, but what actually possessed me, I know, was I'm an East Tennessee girl. I grew up in Johnson City, Kingsport, Tri-Cities area, where they got picking and singing up in those mountains everywhere.
All right.
And I grew up next door to Dr. Nat Winston, who had Roy Acuff, Earl Scruggs, Lester Flatts, Bill Monroe when they were still together, Chet Atkins, Mama Maymel Carter, June Carter. They would come in to his house once every 6 weeks, just all different kinds of songwriters. And it was back when I was a small child, I mean, 8 years old. And if we were quiet, we got to hear them perform at night, where they do their picking, their singing, and their songwriting.
Yeah.
I've never been able to play a guitar. I've never been able to sing because two-year-olds tell me not to. but I sure did enjoy the picking and the singing that I saw in that house and them talking about the merry-go-round, talking about WSM radio and how it was moving everything into Nashville, everything was leaving Bristol. It was just amazing, and that's where my passion came from. Well, in 2011, I was at the 16th annual Key West Songwriters Festival, and I happened to have been down there. My daughter lived down there, and I'd gone down to live there for about 6 months and work. And in the Paradise, I opened up the Paradise to see what I was going to do the following week in the culture world, and there sat this ad that said 16th annual Key West Songwriters Festival. Well, it actually made me mad. I actually even said probably a few little curse words, thinking, what in the world? I love you, Jimmy Buffett, but 16 years and I don't even know what a songwriters festival is? And I'm from East Tennessee? Whoa, hold on. There's something bad wrong here. When I went and saw my first show and I heard the stories behind the songs that you heard on the radio, I got bit by that songwriters bug. And then I met other songwriters in the bars later in the evening. And every single one of them, when they heard I was from the Smoky Mountains, Gallenberg, Tennessee, they said, well, how come you all don't have one there? And I said, don't you worry. When I get home, we will be having one. Because that Smoky Mountain Songwriters Festival should have been the first songwriters festival that had ever occurred in this country. Lord, we're 35 years behind Austin, Texas. What, 20 years behind some of them in Florida that are on these beaches all around. I was just amazed. So that's how it all got started, and that's where the passion came from that kind of drove me to this crazy world I live in now. So
Well, so what are the biggest changes as the festival has evolved in the last 3 years, and how many volunteers do you have working all over town? And do they all have floppy hats? Because I haven't figured out how you're everywhere.
Well, the floppy hat was actually because I was in Key West and you wear sun hats down there. And when I came home that August, it was hot. Until after the Bose guy asked one of our volunteers that first year, who did I think I was? Was I the mini Pearl of the Smoky Mountains? From that moment on, I had a branding with the hat. So that's kind of how that occurred. But Iris knows a little bit more about the volunteers, so I'm going to defer her to that.
We actually started off really with just myself, my mom, and maybe a friend of mine in 2011 at the opening event for this. And now we're into our third year of the actual festival.
Right.
And we need a lot more help. We need, we still don't have the help that we need as far as volunteers go, but they're coming in more and more now. And we went from 4 hit songwriters the first year, 2011. We're up to close to 35 hit writers now.
Wow.
And participating writers were over 100 this year. So yeah,
they're probably about 150. And we had 276 songs entered into our Smoky Mountain Songwriters competition. And and that was just phenomenal. So we have a competition, we have a band playoff, we have a co-write with hit writers, we have stage spots available for aspiring songwriters. Then, of course, we bring in the hit writers and pros like yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of have a big mix that we bring in. And the mix has a camaraderie. And then they all become family. And it's just a celebration of songwriters for songwriters.
That's awesome. Well, I love the fact that you involve writers at all levels and all skill levels. So there's hit writers, but there's, you know, non-hit writers as well. Talk about your thinking behind that and why you did that.
Well, when we first got the hit writers, all of a sudden I thought, well, you know, there's so many songwriters in East Tennessee. As much as they need to come to Nashville, they're East Tennesseans, and to leave those mountains is just probably a no-no in their language. So I knew that I could involve them through a song competition, and that's how we got started with them. I gave the song competition, of which Scott was a judge the first 2 years. And then I went and went out into the area, and I found that they wanted to not just be in a competition, because some of them didn't want to have their songs in a competition. They wanted to buy a stage spot. And I said, buy a stage spot? They said, yeah, can I just not buy a stage spot? Well, after I got about the 7th call on buying a stage spot, I thought, well, why not?
I should be selling some stage spots.
I'll charge you the same amount I charge you for the competition and have at it. But we did do an audition because the show is all over town in Gatlinburg, and it is for the public, so we have to know they're stage worthy.
Right.
So we have a listening group that kind of funnels the audition of the stage spots, and we do sell them. And the guys that have bought them have told me they've gotten gigs, 6 and 7 gigs from them. They've sold merchandise. They absolutely adored it. I would never want to make a songwriter pay to play, but when they asked me, what else was I supposed to do? And it's been very successful since that time, actually. And then we had bands call us and asking, can we not come and be there? We've got original music. after we got about 10 of those calls the following year, the second year of the festival, we actually put in the band playoff for bands with original music. So,
well, I'm gonna back you up a little bit, mm-hmm. because you said this all started in 2011. What year was it you were at Key West?
I was in Key West 2011. I got home June the 6th. I was on the phone to George Hawkins, who at that time was our special events director. We met at the Park Vista. He called it when I showed him that picture that I had seen and asked him what was wrong with it. He immediately thought of Susan Jenkins, who worked for House of Bryant, mm-hmm. Del Bryant's actual publishing house for Rocky Top.
Mm-hmm.
We went to see her. He was all in the book with BMI, so she called him, and he said he'd help me, but she didn't tell me who to call in BMI. She said, call them all, so I proceeded to call Nashville Songwriters Association International and talk to Bart. I called Mark Drisco at ASCAP, and then they got a hold of CSAC, and we had a meeting with all four, mm-hmm. CSAC, ASCAP, BMI, and Nashville Songwriters Association, and they would not let me do a festival that year. They told me I was crazy, I could not do it. And I had to do a preview event for our town. So our very first year in 2011, August the 23rd, we had a preview event that over 150 or 60 people from our town actually came. And the guys liked it. The hit writers that came in said they'd go back, they'd get their friends, and that was the beginning.
So then in that year, before actually having the first annual actual festival, did you go to other festivals? I mean, how did you do this? I mean, I've run writers' nights before, and it made my head explode just one night. I mean, how did you learn how to do all this?
Well, I have a political past where I used to sell Republicans to great Democrats in the state of Tennessee back mm-hmm. in an era when the Southern Democrat, conservative Democrat, was having difficulties with the liberalism in the Democratic Party. And I got a full education in 12 years about how to put on events, make things happen. So I attribute that to my political background.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. It's where you know how to just make things happen. I mean, when you got a political candidate, and I've treated the festival just like as if it was a political candidate
mm-hmm.
running for office. So that's where the knowledge came from. And all reality, though, I will have to share this with you. God actually takes care of most everything in this festival. I pray over everything that's here. And he provides things right as I need them. And that has been amazing to watch, being part of a universal thing with positive energy, working for the good of so many,
mm-hmm.
That it's just been incredible. And there's other things besides us humans that move things in this world. And I really do appreciate the efforts from what I have in that realm.
Wow. Well, we'd be remiss if we didn't do some shameless sponsor plugging. I mean, who helped you out with the festival this year?
We give a great big huge thank you to Sugarlands Distilling Company. They were a great big, and they make the best shine in the world, and they believe in the history of the Sugarlands and what we're doing. Gatlinburg Inn came in, and they were also a top sponsor. WIVK Radio in Knoxville, Tennessee, came mm-hmm. in with a great package for us this year. Bose supplies all of our sound. They got Audix and Radio in on the sound this year. So we are a festival.
The sound was great. It really was.
Yeah, the festival is really known for its sound. I mean, I don't know a hit writer that has not said to me, wow, how do you get this great sound? And that's the weirdest part, because we get three sound guys out of Kentucky to join our three guys in Gatlinburg. And then we've added one out of Indiana and two more out of our area. And those guys get paid very little right now, but they're as dedicated as we are, and they really make it pop out there. So that's Sound Theory Corp with Shane Reman and all of his buddies. So a big shout-out to them. And Herb Simones, Mark Vaughn and Mary Vaughn, Kimberly Simones, Dave Clark and Stacy, they come in from Frankfurt. They come in for practically nothing, and they're working from 8 a.m. in the morning till after 11, 12 o'clock at night. So.
Man. Wow. Well, why don't we take a break? We got a couple more questions for you, and then we're going to bring John Condroni out to put us in a headlock and play some music with us.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so stick around. You're listening to the Music Row Show. We'll be right back with more of the Smoky Mountain Songwriters Festival. Stick around.
Swinging from a tree vine, making a splash wearing nothing but a smile.
All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show. We're here with the folks from the Smoky Mountain Songwriters Festival, and that's a tune called Sneak to the Creek by our guest coming up here in a minute, John Condroni. We're going to be talking to him, hit songwriter. But right now we're here with Cindy Reeves and Iris Reeves-Ramsey. We got that right. organizers of the festival. And we're just having a great time.
Well, and we were talking about some of the sponsors that put a festival together, and that's so important.
Yeah, because without that, you can't do it, right?
That's exactly right.
There's a lot that goes into it, and you definitely need money, and you need support from the community. And you named off a couple, of course, Sugarlands and the Gatlinburg Inn, which of course we did the jam at, and Sugarlands also sponsored that. But there were other people that were involved in this as well, right,
that's
Iris?
Exactly right, Scott. We also had Three Jimmies, and that's where the band playoff actually takes place. It's out there at Three Jimmies, and they were one of our diamond sponsors this year. And we also had Crystal Creek. And they are actually out there, 321 out near the Three Jimmies as well. And they're another big sponsor for us, as well as our Mountain Rentals. They are part of the festival. They've been a part of the festival since 2011 and been big supporters, as well as providing nice cabins as well for some of our hit songwriters.
Wonderful.
From the beginning.
Also Fee Hedrick, who sponsors our entire competition. And he has the Smoky Mountain Opry, Comedy Barn, and Hatfield McCoy's all the way in Pigeon Forge. And
Wow.
He puts in a big chunk of money into the festival every year because he's a musician and songwriter himself. So he knows what it means and appreciates it.
Awesome. Wow. Well, it takes a long time to put one of these together. You're already starting to work on next year's festival, aren't you? Which is August 19th through the 23rd of 2015.
It sure is.
How can people get involved if they want to be?
Go to www.smswf.com or like us on Facebook, Smoky Mountain Songwriters Festival. Keep up with what we're doing, and you'll be able to find your way to us. We also have an email, smswf@yahoo.com.
And you can follow us on Twitter at smswf.
Yep. Which is, just in case you're not getting it, it's the first letter of each word in Smoky Mountain Songwriter Festival.
Yes, sure is.
Easy to remember.
Well said.
Thank you. Well, I had to look at it a few times. When I first saw it, I was like, what, Smurf? What am I looking at? And then I realized, it's the first letter of each word. And that's where volunteers, if they want to participate.
Volunteers, there's a space within our, it is on our website where they can actually volunteer. We are looking for volunteers. We need you out there. We want to make you a part of the family as well.
And more sponsors.
Oh, yeah, sure. More sponsors.
Now, Iris, you've been with Cindy every step of the way.
I would like to say I've been at the festival since 2011. I've shown up for the festival every year.
Right.
This past year, I've actually sat beside her so I could actually see how she puts this festival on.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been interesting working with my mother, but it's also been a great thing. I think we're a good team.
Yeah.
I really do. I think that where I fall short, she picks up and vice versa. And I think we're going to make a great team. And I think each year is just going to continue to get better. But now I'm locked in forever.
Yay.
Well, and it's always on her birthday, too, guys. Her and her husband have the same birthday, and it seems like.
Really?
So yeah. Happy birthday forever.
Nice. Nice. Well, this question is for both of you, then, and I'd love to hear both of your feedbacks. But what are some of the behind-the-scenes aspects of putting one of these together that surprised you? Even though you had the political history, politicians are a lot different than songwriters.
Exactly. I will have to say myself, it's a brand new language for me. I've always loved music, and I actually have worked in doing events, but this is a whole different field, a lot to learn, but I am so glad that I'm a part of it. I love music, and I love songwriters, and it's definitely given me a different perspective, but it has been something that you have to, it's more than once a week work, that's
right.
For sure. So.
Right.
Yeah, it actually took 26 months solid. Like the Bose man made me count how many hours I'd put in. It was 26 months to get it established. I do want to mention one thing, Scott.
Mm.
We are very, very fortunate that I came over to one of the third Sundays at Doak Turner's.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And met a lady there that was sitting there where I was eating at the same place that she was eating at the table. And I heard many songwriters come in and say, hey, wow, thank you for your photography workshop. Her name is Kat Spears from Music City Kat, right here in Nashville, Tennessee.
That's K-A-T. We love Kat.
Yeah.
She's taking pictures of us.
S-P-E-E-R.
Yeah.
She did a photography workshop at our first festival, came, brought her camera. That first festival, Scott, she walked and ran all over those towns for those 12 stages. Second year, she shows up, and she's got these two little electric motor scooters named Harletta and Harlette. And she said, I found these on eBay, and we now have a way to get around. So now Kat is part of our family. We could not live without her because she goes to takes every picture in the world of this festival. And that way I get to enjoy the festival because I don't get to see it all and hear it all. But through her pictures, I get to see what happened in all the festivals. So I really want to say a big, big shout out to Kat because she has joined us and has full blood come ahead and been part of the family from the beginning. So.
All right, Kat.
Yeah, Kat.
She's here right now. She's blushing. She's blushing. Well, you guys, thanks again. It's a great festival. And again, if you want to be involved as a songwriter, as a band, as a volunteer, or as a sponsor, go to smswf.com. That's Smoky Mountain Songwriters Festival.com. Iris, Cindy, thank you guys so much. You're amazing.
Thank you for having us here. Right. We hope you'll be back with us next year,
Scott.
Absolutely.
You bet.
Try and stop us.
Well, why don't you guys have a sip when we'll bring this gentleman over here. And Hino, why don't you tell us about this this fine gentleman that's sitting down?
Absolutely. Well, John is an award-winning Dove and Grammy-nominated songwriter who's been a success in just about every genre you can think of. Pop, TV, commercials, hits in Europe and Japan, gospel, Christian country, movies, bluegrass. And don't forget his new acid metal album, I Hate Everybody, which is set to drop just this coming Christmas. All right. That last part's not true, but all the rest of it is. He also finds time to teach songwriting all over the country, and we're so happy to have him here with us tonight. John Condroni, welcome to the Music Row Show.
Thank you guys so much. Thank you for having me.
Come on, let's get a big old round of applause.
There we go.
Thanks.
They're all trying to be so polite because they're on the radio.
Yeah. They're ready to talk about them.
So you might be our first ever guest that started out writing for television, writing for TV songs.
Yeah.
How did you break into that, and how hard is the transition to go from that to the other end of the music world?
Wow. I actually started first writing jingles.
Yeah.
That was the cool thing, and then went from that into television and movies and so on, and even landed my first job as a music supervisor for a film, which was pretty cool. So it's a different world, though, because you are writing to a story, but you're writing to a thing that a script is looking for.
So how do you get started in that world, though?
Wow. It is, when I actually started doing jingles, I did a lot of fundraising events. I think it was my first love was that. And I actually wrote songs for American Cancer Society, for Dream Connection, for Make-A-Wish Foundation, and so on. Mm-hmm. So I was actually targeting those type of things. And then that kind of took me in that direction at first to write the themes and a lot of jingles. I had a Wendy's jingle, which was pretty cool to get a late night drive through Wendy's commercial. And but you're actually writing for that script once again. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's a little bit like songwriting now, but it's just instead of writing that true story, I'm writing a script that they're looking for,
right?
For that film or for that television show.
And then how did you transition from that to being a music supervisor in a movie?
Well, that was a pretty cool thing. I was offered that. That opportunity, and I got to get some of my songs in. I jumped in a heartbeat, said, I'll do this. But I actually got some cuts with Black Oak, Arkansas. I even got a Frank Sinatra cut on a movie, which was pretty
really?
Neat to do. Yeah, so I really enjoyed that part of it. Don't want to do that forever, but it was a lot of work and a lot of good times.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about your number one with Kimberly Simon, awesome. If You Stole My Heart. Tell us about that song.
Kim is a artist out of Calgary, Alberta, Canada,
mm-hmm.
and she won the Calgary Stampede, the whole deal, and had an opportunity to write for her when I was at Sony, and she did a great job, and had a video on CMT for about 20 weeks. It did real well for us, so I was real excited. She did a great job with the song, so I wrote that with Alan Shapiro at Sony when I was at Sony Crosstree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And was it did you involve her in the song to begin with, or did that just get pitched to her?
I think it got pitched to her.
Okay.
Yeah. She had one single out that came out at first and didn't do real strong, and they were looking for that upbeat a barnstormer, and they did a good job. We had some great musicians on it from Nashville that just tore it up, some fiddle players that I still would love to still have on my new stuff. Kim did great, though.
She excellent. Great. Okay, I got to back it up a little bit because I'm really interested in when you're doing jingles and you're doing TV, there's a you kind of, my understanding from other folks we've talked to is you, that's who you are. You get known as you're the TV guy or the jingle guy. So how do you go from that to 3.5 minute songs to actually presenting yourself in that way as well?
I've always tried to be really multitasking in the songwriting business since I started. Mm-hmm. And I've always had that thing about jack of all trades kind of thing. So I did that, and I still continue to do that. I've written a score last year for PlayStation. So I actually wrote an orchestra score. So able to write different things has been a desire of mine from day one, though, to do a lot of different facets of the business. So I've enjoyed that part of it. That's a challenge that I wanted to get involved with. So.
Wow.
Yeah, I love
orchestral scores.
That was fun.
That makes my head hurt just to think about it.
Yeah, I don't want to do it again real soon.
Did you do the arranging?
Everything, yeah. So it was pretty neat.
Wow.
Yeah, really cool. Get one of those little games that kids play, and they're killing people from town to town, and yours truly had the music behind it. So all the parents in the world hate me, probably.
I can just hear the conversations with the director of the game. You know, okay, in this scene, there's guts flying everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
And we need some good gut flying music.
Maybe polka.
Yes. Maybe a nice polka.
That's where the death metal album came from, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But I actually did several. The actual main theme of the game was called Journey to the Realm, which was a travel type of orchestral piece. So it was really neat to get that. And when they travel from town to town to kill new people, that's where.
Yeah, of course. Sure. Yeah. You gotta localize the music for wherever the
exactly. It was a lot of fun. That really was. So I'm blessed to have that one too.
Very cool. Well, how did the Selena Gomez cut happen? And talk about working with Disney in general, because this one's worked for Disney in the past.
Disney's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still getting some stuff going.
There's some
with
hoops to jump through, right?
Yeah, it's all networking, like you know how it goes, and meeting people. And the first Selena Gomez thing I did was actually for Wizards of Waverly Place through Disney. Mm-hmm. And it was just, it's one of those things, we all have those stories where you pitch a song and don't work it for a while. And all of a sudden, a year later, you hear, guess what? Your song's coming out. And you go, what? And that's how it kind of went. And so I was excited to get that cut with her. And then I've got a new one called Come On and Dance that Disney's pushing pretty hard right now. And it's a real big upbeat dance song. So we're hoping to see it get somewhere. Got a lot of interest in it, so we'll see how it does.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's so fun.
Were you pitching to Disney? I mean, you said
I pitched everywhere, so it's kind of, it wasn't just localized to that, but I love that kind of, it's a dance song, you know, that's kind of like that stuff as well. And I let Cindy and Iris know shortly a while ago that this day before yesterday, I got my next pop cut, which was a song by a girl named Hannah Lane, and it's called Feel Good Vibe. And it's awesome. I could not believe when I got the song back and how great it sounds. But it's getting being released here in the next month or two. So I love that dance music too.
So I'm just curious, how is it different pitching to those genres versus, let's say, country or TV? I mean, is there a different approach, a different way you got to network?
I still think it's the same. It's the same business everywhere else. The little bit of language is different.
Like
here
what?
And there, as far as you know, appealing to a different market level. If you're doing dance music, you're looking for 17 to 28 year olds. You got a certain genre you're going to use. And if I'm writing traditional country, I've got a swing song on my new album, and I love that old style country. So I got a Texas swing, and you're gearing that one towards more, you know, 25, 35, 45 year old.
Right.
So going into that open ended process, I guess I try not to box myself into a corner and just write what's on my heart and just, you know, have a good time with it and enjoy it all. I enjoy it all. So.
So do you go out, and if you're writing for a specific genre, let's say you get a request for something, do you pull in people who have a mastery of that particular?
I do. I mean,
I've never written a death metal song, so I would have to go find a co-writer who knew what the language is and all that stuff.
You're absolutely right, though, but I do study that. I mean, even in country, I do write more country than I write anything, so I really study the current language, the current technical part of where it's going right now. And if I write orchestral music for games, I'm playing a lot of games, which I love to do that anyway.
Okay.
And sit back and see what other stuff is going on out there.
So it's research, all those games. For your work.
It's tax deductible.
Tax
right?
deductible. There we go.
Call of Duty 17, tax deductible.
That's awesome. I don't think that would fly at my house, but that's awesome.
Hey, you never know.
Oh, listen, we got to take a break, but the sponsor of this segment is Toyota of Cool Springs. Scott and I are both Toyota drivers, as a lot of you know.
I am too.
That's all very, very true. And we love this dealer. And the reason why is because they have excellent deals. They have so much experience. And I just love the fact that they have a lifetime warranty with unlimited time and miles on every new car. I don't even get that. That makes my head explode.
Yeah.
A 3-day exchange policy. And unlike many other dealerships, these guys are very just low-key and friendly.
That's absolutely true. Toyota of Cool Springs. Ask for George. He's the owner. He'll take great care of you. On the web at toyotaofcoolsprings.com.
Hey, we're going to be right back with more of John Condroni, and we're going to get him to play a song when we get back. So you're listening to the Music Row Show. Stick around.
Bones. When the nights got cooler, you best leave her alone.
All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show. We're here with hit songwriter John Condroni. That's a tune of his called Smoky Mountain Voodoo Queen.
You got to say that with a little Smoky Mountain Voodoo Queen.
I'll just leave that to you.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Hey, you're going to sing us a song, right? Well, let's do that. And then I got to ask you a very important question.
Okay, very important. Shoot. But first, a song. What do you feel like playing for us?
I wrote called She Gets Me. This is kind of my thing to all the people in the world that support us songwriters. Because one of the biggest things I always say is I can't believe that every morning I wake up, I couldn't imagine not being able to write songs. So this is, we can't do it without our loved ones and our supporting groups and our fans more than anything that come to the shows. We appreciate y'all so much. So this is called She Gets Me. Sign above the bar says it's 4 o'clock. Finally heading home. She must be worried half to death. Lying there alone. Grab the knob and turn the key. And through the dark I see the one who gives me every beat. What she stirs goes on and on and on. And every little melody is what I write in every song. It's so plain to see that a small part of my dreams is that she gets me. Lying there in the dark, I can't get to sleep. My guitar's standing all alone, calling out to me. And if I can't find the tune, I just look across the room at the one who gives me every beat. What she stirs goes on and on and on. And every little melody is what I write in every song. It's so plain to see that a big part of my dreams is that she gets me. Then she wakes to hold me. Love to feel her touch. Yeah, she just gets me. She's the one who gives me every beat. And what she stirs goes on and on and on. And every little melody
is what I write in every song. After all is said and done, now who's the lucky one? 'Cause I get her.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Somebody needs to hold me right now.
well, we'll do that during the break. We're going to take a quick break, but we're going to come back with a whole lot more with the folks from the Smoky Mountain Songwriters Festival here on the Music Row Show.
Yeah. Park my truck next to her daddy's car. He said, better have her home by 12 o'clock sharp. She jumped off that porch swing and walked across the yard. When them headlights hit her looking that way, all I could say was, dang girl, dang girl.
Whoa. Dang girl.
Hold on.
Dang girl. Dang girl. Welcome back to the Music Row Show. We're here with hit songwriter John Condroni, and that's a tune called Dang Girl, which if you stick around, you may get to hear him perform.
Yeah, thank you.
With some special backup singers.
Special,
wow.
Kind of slightly awesome. Drunk background singers.
Hey, speak for yourself, lightweight. So, okay, now I know for sure that we have never we're beginning our eighth year on the air of the Music Row Show. We have never had a hit songwriter guest that was also a professional wrestler.
Oh, no.
So what's tougher, wrestling with Owen Hart or meeting with the publisher and pitching your songs for the first time?
Definitely songwriting.
Yeah?
Oh, really?
Yeah. I've wrestled in front of 60,000 people. Nothing close to coming to writing songs, getting on Music Row, knocking on door, hoping somebody listens to your song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, our producer Logan wrestled all through high school. You think maybe after the show, you guys,
we might have
a little throwdown? A throwdown at WSM.
He'd win me in about 3 seconds, probably. So, yeah.
So what? Seriously, what's that? What was that world like?
It was amazing. It was really. I was talking to Cindy and Iris earlier about this, and Mark Allen Barnett. We were talking about this, and that whole world is a brand. You have the same kind of thing we do in songwriting. We try to create a song that that'll get us out there and get a cut. And wrestling was the same world. I was trying to create a brand and get to work for some amazing people, some big shows. And I actually did a pay-per-view with WCW called Clash of the Champions, and wrestled for the World Heavyweight title 5 times and the World Tag Team Championship 7 times.
Wow.
So it was a really cool world.
What was your character?
My character? I wrestled as Scott Southworth. And
no. Let me tell you this, brother.
I'm
going to find the G chord.
I wrestled as Johnny Meadows.
Meadows.
Yeah, a member of the tag team called the Paradise City Rockers.
All right.
That was a pretty cool thing. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun.
Even sounds kind of like a musician name anyway, you know?
Yeah, we were back in we came out with the Cyndi Lauper, Lou Albano area of the rock and roll and wrestling music. So it was a really cool thing.
Nice. Well, speaking of music, you have one more?
Sure.
Is that? I'd love to hear one more song.
I
got time.
This is the
Wait. We don't have time, do we?
Maybe. Can you play it fast?
Do a short song. Do a short song.
This is the title of the new album coming out called Sneak to the Creek.
All right.
First time, oh my, you were swinging from a tree vine. Making a splash, wearing nothing but a smile. I pulled on over, girl, I've got to hold ya. Knew right then and there I had to make you mine. Well, the next few summers, oh, what a bummer. You were seeing someone else, and I was seeing green. But that water's calling, and all I really wanted
was you and me in that country stream. Every night in my dreams, we'll turn the key, fire it up, throw that blanket in the back of the truck, give it gas and we'll give it a whirl, wiggle them blue jeans off that butt, girl, pull over by the cottonwood, a long so kiss will do us good, leave your inhibitions by the tree and sneak to the creek with me. Yeah, sneak to the creek with me. Take it off, take it off. Oh, ooh, wee. Baby, sneak to the creek with me. Oh, oh, ooh, wee. Baby, sneak to the creek with me. Oh, oh, ooh, wee. Baby, sneak to the creek with me.
Yeah.
Woo. That's a short version of that.
That was
song.
Oh, great, great. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And you'll be joining us again next segment as well. We're going to take you behind the scenes. What happens after the Songwriters Festival? Yes.
All the shows are over. We all get together at the historic Gatlinburg Inn.
And have some Sugarland Shine moonshine and let the song start flowing. So that's coming up next. So you want to stick around for that here on the Music Row Show.
Strong!